piles of commitments to multilateral disarmament. Europe's medicines regulator has said it remains firmly convinced that the benefits of the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine outweigh any risks. BBC News.
Read by Arlene Fleming. And we have comedy on the way in just a moment, but before that, fancy a pie?
On BBC Radio 4.
You're going to be a barber?
I'm with Sweeney Todd.
People came to the shop. They never went out of it.
Thomas Prest's classic thriller starring Rufus Sewell.
Colonel Oliver Jeffrey at your service.
Joanne Whalley.
Any attempt to leave here will be futile and dangerous.
And Martin Jarvis as the nefarious Sweeney Todd.
I hope you like the pie. Are they not delicious?
Sweeney Todd and the String of Pearls on Radio 4. Sunday afternoons at 3 and catch up now on BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, Nigel Havers stars in Reluctant Persuaders as Hardacre's ad agency celebrates a birthday.
Reluctant Persuaders by Edward Rowett. Episode 3, At Your Side.
Hey, Teddy, good morning to you.
Surprise!
No, get away,
Ted,
get away,
Ted,
get away.
Ted, it's me. Happy birthday.
Oh, Joe, you remembered.
Of course, I wouldn't forget again. Not after. Well, I'll never forget again.
You even made a banner. Happy B-Day T.
I started too big and ran out of space.
Oh, it's perfect. Thanks, Jay.
That's only the beginning. There's a card and present on your desk, a cake in the fridge and...
Happy birthday, Teddy.
Amanda, how did you know?
Joe may have mentioned it in passing. So, I got you this card.
Wow.
There, happy now.
Thank you.
Teddy, it is your birthday, Amanda.
I mean every word.
It's beautiful.
Good. Responsibility discharged. I want no further part in the charade.
Are we playing?
No.
I didn't know she cared.
Of course she does. She's just funny about showing it.
Mother thinks it's because she's in love with me.
Did she remember your birthday?
Of course. She made the most amazing breakfast in bed. Bacon, sausages, black pudding, both kinds of egg, toast, beans, the works, and I sat with her while she ate it. In fact, there's only one thing that could make today any better.
Was someone saying my name?
Morning, sir.
I heard a rumour someone in this office is celebrating a birthday.
Yes, sir.
So I thought I'd drop by to say...
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday, Starling.
No, sir.
Yes. Many happy returns of the day.
It isn't my birthday.
Then why the hell have you been going on at me about it for the past month?
I haven't. It's Ted's birthday.
Who?
Me, sir.
Oh, Starling told me it was his.
I didn't. We went through this over and over and over again.
I thought you were making rather a fuss about your own birthday. Well, Beach, I signed a card. You may as well have it.
Thank you, sir. Oh, it's one of your business cards with a signature on it.
As I say, I signed a card. What are you, 19?
33.
33? Good God, man. Birthdays are for children and women. Get back to work.
I'm calling it best birthday ever.
It's only just getting started.
Oh, my dear.
I'm taking refuge from the festivities.
Hasn't that insufferable conjurer left yet?
Yes, but the barbershop quartet has just arrived.
Starling got him a...
Teddy ordered it himself.
God, if the boy's birthday means so much to him, why doesn't he take the day off?
Apparently, there's nowhere he'd rather be.
Let's have a drink.
I'm trying to cut back on my whiskey before lunch.
My dear, please. I wasn't going to offer you a whiskey. You're a woman. You'll have a gin.
I'll have nothing. I'd need my wits about me today. I took my eye off the ball earlier, and when I looked up, Teddy was playing the hat game at me.
What on earth is that?
I didn't stick around to find out.
I sometimes wonder how I came to be running a home for lost boys.
Me too. It's exhausting keeping an eye on three of them.
Two, you mean?
Yes, two, I mean.
By the time I was 33, I'd settled down. I had a house, a wife, two beautiful mistresses. Oh, Starling's no better, giving Beach all those gifts.
It is his birthday.
Men don't give other men gifts. They buy things for themselves. That's the trouble with this place. I'm surrounded by needy boys and emotional women. My dear, where are all the men?
I sometimes wonder that.
Have a look and see if the coast is clear. I want a piece of Beach's cake.
Joe Starling and his best friend, Teddy Beach.
Rupert, fix me a whiskey.
I might have a gin.
Ted, the caricaturist is leaving.
Oh, that's probably for the best.
Don't know why Mr. Hardacre got so angry with him. It was only a drawing.
He says he won't tolerate being lampooned.
Is everything all right?
Oh, it's stupid.
What?
I can't stop thinking about my promise to Mr. Hardacre.
Your promise?
That I'd spend this year looking for my dad.
You promised Mr. Hardacre?
Yes, at the Christmas party.
Oh, Ted, he only said that to stop you giving him a mug.
I think there was a little more to it than that.
Has he ever mentioned it since?
Not with his words, but Mr. Hardacre never forgets. Sooner or later, he'll ask how I'm getting on. What am I going to tell him? I'm another year older and I haven't made any progress.
Have you tried?
Everything I can think of. I put a card in the window of the newsagents.
Have you asked your mum about him?
You know what Mother says about questions. They're how the devil gets in.
She is a difficult woman to have a conversation with.
I don't know what else I can do.
Let's go out for lunch. Either of the service stations, my treat.
I can't. I already have lunch plans today.
Who with?
They're in here.
Much obliged. Teddy, Joe, hello.
Hi, Frederick.
Hello, Frederick.
Isn't someone going to introduce me?
Sorry, Amanda, this is Frederick. He's my brother.
Actually, I prefer not to have my selfhood defined through the prism of another. I find it rather demeaning. Teddy's my brother.
Teddy and Freddy?
Freddy is a name for a child or a frog. Since I am neither, I go by Frederick.
You two are very alike.
We're semi-identical twins.
Yet somehow not alike at all.
We're also semi-non-identical twins.
And our lives have followed very different paths. I own a house, a wife, and two strapping boys named Terence and Stockwell. Teddy does not.
Terence and...
Stockwell. I was eager their names shouldn't rhyme in any format.
Well, good to meet you. Happy birthday.
Oh, it's not my birthday.
Well, surely if you're twins.
Mother thought we both deserved a special day, so she had mine moved. She wrote a letter to the Queen.
I've put up with all this nonsense and it's not even your birthday.
No, it is. The Queen's...
Unbelievable.
I've asked you not to tell that story, Teddy. It makes us look eccentric.
Sorry, Frederick.
Happy pretend birthday. Needless to say, I didn't get you a gift.
Why not?
I don't believe in them. Neither the giving nor the receiving. Everything I have, I earned. Apart from a novelty tie, which it would have been professionally disadvantageous to refuse. Are we ready for lunch?
Could Joe come as well?
I've booked a table for two.
I don't mind kneeling.
That's fine. I'd just be a third wheel.
Yes. Come along, Teddy. I'll have the chicken liver pate, followed by the fillet of brill with the roasted asparagus side, and a glass of the Chablis Grand Cru.
Very good, sir. And for you?
Yes, may I see a children's menu?
He'll have the same as me.
I'm not sure I'll like any of that.
I won't sit here while you order a child's lunch. You're going to eat like a grown-up for once.
Okay, so... knife in left hand, spoon in right?
Please don't embarrass me, Teddy.
I'm just not used to eating in a place this fancy. Frederick, I think this tablecloth is actually made of cloth.
It is. So, how are things at work?
Really good, really good. Did you see our Walton's advert?
I did. I assume it was all Joe's work?
Not all.
He has talent, that boy.
Oh, I know. Joe is amazing.
We're not here to talk about him. What progress have you made since last we spoke?
Oh, it's my birthday, Frederick.
Well, no better moment for a life audit. Reflect on where you're going wrong.
I was hoping we could just have a nice meal. It means a lot that you took the day off for my birthday.
I took a long lunch, and it isn't really your birthday.
Well, it means a lot that you remembered.
I own a calendar. You should try it.
Oh, I own lots of calendars.
Decades-old advent calendars don't count. Which reminds me, we need to speak about your hoarding.
I'm not a hoarder, I'm a collector.
Those cereal box toys are appreciating in value, are they?
They are to me.
Teddy, tidying your room is the first step to ordering your life.
How would you know if my room's tidy? You never visit.
Because I find the fashion in which you and Mother live immensely distressing. It has a sinister Norman Bates quality to it.
Not since we closed the motel.
Well, I don't intend to expose Terence and Stockwell to it.
Mother would really like to see them, and you.
And she's welcome to visit us any time.
Oh, that's not fair. You know how she feels about leaving the house.
Yes, I know. That's how the devil gets in.
There's actually nothing wrong with living with your parents. Joe says lots of people have to do it these days.
That is a fiction peddled by the indolent and incompetent.
Terence and Stockwell live with you?
Because they're 11 and 9, respectively. They know they're expected to move out by age 21 and return only for Christmas and the occasional Easter.
What if they fell on hard times?
That will never happen. Stockwell has begun saving for his first deposit.
Do you ever think you might be too hard on them?
I simply don't believe in coddling. My boys are going to be high achievers, like me. You were coddled and it's done you a great deal of harm.
I wasn't. It hasn't.
Yes. Coddled and indulged. And it's still going on. Mother cooks your meals, pays your bills, washes your clothes.
Only when she remembers.
It's as if you're incapable of managing your own life.
I'm not incapable. I ordered myself a barbershop quartet this morning.
I'm going to receive that as a joke because I can't bear that it should be true.
Well, it is true, so...
I won't sanction your buffoonery, Teddy. I can't.
It sometimes feels like the only reason you want to see me is to lecture me.
What I want is to see you succeed. If you don't sort your life out, who do you think will?
Do you ever think about Dad?
We don't have a father.
Well, we do somewhere. I have been trying to track him down.
Why?
There's things I'd like to ask him.
About what?
About him and myself, you know? Maybe he could help me solve the enigmatic riddle that is Teddy.
This is a man who went out of his way to seduce Mother. I don't think you should place too much faith in his wisdom.
Well, he must have had something going for him. You know what Mother usually says about sex.
That's how the devil gets in.
Joe, I want your opinion. Where should I hang this drawing of Rupert?
Somewhere he won't see it.
Where would be the fun in that? What happened to the Brothers Grimm?
They went out for lunch.
You not invited?
Nah, Frederick and I don't really get on. He feels I enable Ted. I don't much like him either, I find him weird. And he's always telling Ted to grow up.
Oh, what a villain.
No, I know, but Ted's already a bit fragile today.
The conjurers, caricaturists and clowns weren't enough for him?
It's his dad. He promised Mr. Hardacre he'd track him down. All he has to go on is that his dad worked in advertising.
Joe, I'm not as invested in you and Teddy's psychodrama as you seem to think.
Right, sorry.
His father worked in advertising?
Yeah, that's sort of how we ended up in it. Teddy liked the idea of following in his footsteps.
When was Teddy born?
1986.
And his father ran off?
While his mum was pregnant. I don't know if he even knew she was.
So, you're looking for a man who worked in advertising in the 1980s, was putting it about all over town, you might even call him a cad, who Teddy shares a mysterious bond with?
Was someone saying my name?
I was thinking it.
What's happened to Beach?
He's out to lunch.
Yes, obviously I know that.
Literally, though.
Then we might finally get a bit of peace. Sometimes I wonder who's responsible for that boy.
I mean, you don't think.
Perhaps I could get invested in this psychodrama.
His name is Jordan B. Peterson, and the book is called 12 Rules for Life. I think it would do you a lot of good.
You really didn't have to walk me up to my office.
I wanted to finish making my point.
Well, it's good to see you.
Yes, I should be off. I'm sure you have work to get on with.
Joe will give me something to do.
Of course. Well, until next time.
Frederick, before you go, about Dad?
Teddy, don't let this become another obsession. If you did ever meet him, he would simply be a strange man who knew nothing about you and cared less.
Was someone saying my name? Oh, Beach, it's you. Oh, and who is this fine young man?
This is Frederick, sir. I'm his brother, Frederick. This is my Mr. Hardacre.
It's as if someone took Beach and fixed him.
That's very kind of you to say.
I can scarcely believe you come from the same stock.
I'm very much the white sheep of the family.
Would you care to join me in my office for a drink?
We'd love to.
Not you, Beach.
I'm afraid I was just on my way out.
Can I give you a lift anywhere? Oh,
there's no need. My car's parked out front.
The Range Rover? That's a mighty machine.
I'll take you for a spin if you like.
I'd be delighted.
Should I come too?
You get back to work, Beach. You've taken an obscenely long lunch. I understand it's not even your birthday.
Well, no, because the Queen said...
Goodbye, Teddy. I hope you'll think about everything I've said.
I will, and I hope you'll think about everything I've said.
Mr. Hardacre.
Oh, please. Call me Rupert.
I'm fine with this.
What's the book, Ted?
12 Rules for Life.
Why are you reading that?
Frederick told me to...
Have you two seen Rupert?
Amanda.
He left early. He's playing squash with Frederick.
Frederick, your brother.
Amanda...
They really hit it off on my birthday.
Did they now?
Amanda.
I wonder why that may be.
Probably because they're both such high achievers.
On an entirely unrelated subject, how's the father hunt going?
Oh, I've given up.
What? Why?
I mean, what's the point? Even if I found him, he'd just be a strange man who... who'd probably like Frederick more than me.
But you promised Rupert.
Oh, he was just trying to stop me giving him a mug. You were right, Joe. He doesn't remember.
Sorry, Ted.
No, I'm going to stick with the only dad who's never let me down. The milk tray man.
The milk tray man?
From the adverts. The man in the polo neck who swings into women's bedrooms and leaves them a box of milk tray. When I was little, whenever the ads came on, Mother would say, "That's your dad, that is." I'd watch TV for hours, just... hoping to see him, and sometimes when I tiptoed upstairs, there'd be a box of milk tray by my bed. Then I'd know he'd been, and he still cared about me. You know, I even tried to become the Milky Bar Kid so he'd be proud of me. Mother took me to an audition and I told them, "My dad's the milk tray man. This is my birthright. I've got chocolate in my blood." I didn't get it. The casting people said you had to be blonde and wear glasses and that 23 was much too old. Maybe they were right. Frederick said it was all stupid anyway and it was just Mother leaving me the chocolates. He said she never said Dad was the milk tray man, just that he wrote the adverts. I know which I'd rather believe.
Wait, your father wrote those adverts?
If you believe Frederick.
But if that's true, then you could easily find out who he is.
I've told you, I don't want to. He'd just be disappointed in me like everyone else.
But...
Amanda, drop it.
Fine. Just when I was getting invested.
Yeah, that was a terrific game.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Sorry if I was a bit rusty. Don't play as often as I'd like. It can be hard to find opponents. Of the right caliber, I mean.
I have a few fellas at my office who play.
Not really an option at Hardacres.
No, my brother's hardly a sportsman. I took him to a football match once and he cheered on the referee. Didn't take him to the football again.
I'm surprised you take him anywhere.
I'm surprised you managed to get any work done.
The burden largely falls on me. Perhaps you saw our Walton's ad?
I did. Very touching. Your work?
Almost entirely.
I should thank you for keeping my brother off the streets.
Well, he has his uses, but I can tell you what a breath of fresh air you are. A bit of male energy. I'm usually surrounded by women and boys.
All of us are these days. This world is very hostile to men.
I've noticed that as well.
We're being marginalised, professionally and culturally.
That's quite true. Nice watch, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Bought it with my Christmas bonus. It's the James Bond limited edition.
Very tasteful. Might have to get one for myself. Now, what were you saying?
That the deck is stacked against men. Look at my brother. He's told it's bad to be a man, so he stays a boy.
Well, Starling's no better. You should have seen the fuss he made over his own birthday.
I don't know how you put up with them. You must have the patience of a saint.
Yes, that's quite right, I do. Why the hell can't I find my bloody towel?
Sorry?
My towel is gone.
Perhaps someone picked it up by mistake.
How annoying. I swiped that from a very nice hotel.
Rupert, you're here for once.
Actually, I was just going out.
Off to meet Frederick?
No, he's busy this evening. But he did recommend this fascinating book by a chap called Jordan Peterson.
You two have really taken to each other.
My dear, excellence recognises excellence. Frederick's like the son I always wanted.
You have sons?
Yes, but not the ones I wanted.
Has Frederick mentioned his father?
Well, why would he? I believe he ran off before the boys were born.
And apparently worked in advertising.
Oh, really? I'm afraid there was rather a lot of that going on in the industry back then. We were rock stars, and the public were our groupies. You tell a woman you created the Lurpak Butterman, and she was, well, she was butter in your hands.
What a lovely image.
Frederick and Beach won't be the only Charlotte Street orphans from that era.
Changing the subject entirely, do you remember the old milk tray ads? All because the lady loves milk tray.
Remember them? My dear, I spent most of the 80s writing them.
Did you really?
Suave man in a polo neck swinging in and out of women's bedrooms. Remind you of anyone you know?
It does, rather. The really funny thing is, according to Frederick, they were written by his father.
What?
Apparently so. The ad man who swung into his mother's bedroom left her a gift and vanished into the night.
But that would mean...
Yes?
That would mean Frederick.
Yes.
But that would mean Beach.
Yes.
My dear, would you perhaps fix me a gin?
Certainly. Nice watch, by the way.
Thank you. It's new.
Kid, I reckon you ought to saddle up and ride on out of town.
I ain't afraid of you, Sheriff. You just a low-down, dirty rat.
But I mean as a rattlesnake.
Draw.
Bang! Bang, bang!
And a last word, Sheriff. I don't deserve this. To die like this. I was building a house. Deserves got nothing to do with it. I'll see you in hell, Milky Bar Kid. Yeah.
Bang!
The Milky Bars are on.
Oh, Frederick!
Hard at work, I see.
Oh, yeah, we were just filming a concept reel for a client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're looking for Mr. Hardacre, he's in his office.
I'm here to see you. I've brought you a gift.
You don't believe him.
I've made an exception. Here.
Oh, it's very nice of you, Frederick, but I already own lots of envelopes.
It's not the envelope. It's what's inside. The identity of your father.
What?
This seems to mean something to you, so I tracked him down.
Frederick?
Frederick! Did you get my messages? I've been trying to reach you.
I've been rather busy.
Could we perhaps have a word in private?
Sir, Frederick's found my dad.
What? How?
I don't know, but it's all in this envelope.
Have you opened it?
Not yet.
My dear!
What? Oh, Frederick and Teddy and Rupert. What a lovely tableau. Almost like a family portrait.
Amanda.
My dear, the envelope, their father.
Frederick's tracked him down.
How exciting. Who on earth could it be?
Beach, I want you to think long and hard before you open that envelope. I know you made me a Christmas promise.
You do remember.
Rupert Hardacre never forgets. But you don't know what might be inside. Remember Pandora and her box?
Could you open it for me, sir? I don't think I can.
But why me?
Well, my dad worked in advertising in the 80s, and you worked in advertising in the 80s?
Yes, Beach?
It might be someone you know.
It might be indeed. Give it here.
Come on, then.
My dear, I'm not sure I can.
Oh, give it to me. Teddy, it gives me more pleasure than I can possibly say to reveal that your father is John Trott.
Who? Former ad man. Bounced around several agencies during the 80s and 90s, retired in 2005, now lives in a cottage in Kent with a wife and two big dogs. There's a photo included.
Oh, he looks just like us.
Yes, I'm a little concerned by his hairline.
But I thought...
That you were our father. A quick paternity test using your gym towel closed that avenue, so I put my private investigator on the case.
You must be very relieved, Rupert.
My dear, I never seriously entertained the notion. I mean, Beach! I mean, Frederick. But I mean, Beach. The whole thing was absurdly fanciful.
It would have been so neat, though.
Her life is really as neat as one hopes, if you'll excuse me.
Amanda.
I'm going. Just another normal day at Amanda's home for lost boys.
They thought Mr. Hardacre was my dad.
It never crossed your mind?
Of course! But I did a secret paternity test on him years ago.
Well, there you are. You have the father you always wanted. I hope it helps.
Have you spoken to him?
Why would I do that? There's nothing missing from my life that he could supply.
It means a lot that you went to all this trouble. Thank you.
You're welcome. I worry you've been using not having a father as an excuse. I've taken that excuse away. If you do want to reach him, you know where to find him.
Well, I suppose I'll be seeing a lot more of you now that you and Mr. Hardacre are best friends.
Hardly. We have nothing in common.
But you're both such high achievers.
I am. He's both tiresome windbag and substandard squash opponent. Now I've closed off the paternity avenue, he has no further utility.
But he's Mr. Hardacre!
A very disappointed and disappointing man. No wonder you idolise him.
I ain't afraid of you, Frederick.
What?
You're just a low-down, dirty rat.
Teddy, you know I can't abide your silliness.
And I can't abide yours either.
Mine?
Yes, I actually think you're a bit of a disappointment.
There is no metric by which I could be considered disappointing.
Yes, there is. Mine.
I'm not going to be judged by you. I have a house and a family and a life. You have some toys that came out of a box of Rice Krispies 25 years ago.
Well, you have a very silly watch.
Silly? Do you know how much this watch cost?
No idea. My toys were free.
This isn't a toy. It's the James Bond limited edition.
It's a silly watch, Freddy. And 12 Rules for Life is a silly book. And Terence and Stockwell are very silly names.
Yeah, well, at least they don't rhyme.
Actually, Terence can be shortened to Terry, and Terry can be shortened to Tell. So give my best to him and Stockwell.
It seems a deed poll is in order. How did I miss that?
No idea, but I've been sitting on it for 9 years. I just didn't want to make you feel bad.
I'm not the one who should feel bad. You live with your mother.
She's our mother, and at least I have a relationship with her. I have lots of things you don't, Freddy. You know, I feel a bit sorry for you.
I don't deserve this resentment. I've been trying to help you.
Deserves got nothing to do with it. I'm going now. Don't bother me again at work, all right? If you'd like to see me and Mother, you know where to find us. Good day.
This is his office.
I think he wanted to make an exit. So, this is awkward.
Not at all. If he wants to rejoice in mediocrity, so be it. I've always thought you have the potential to be a very high achiever.
Okay, thanks, Frederick.
But Teddy will drag you down if you let him. I'd cut him loose.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
It's all right, Joe. He always gets left behind.
I'm going to go.
This is your office.
I know, but I'd like to make an exit. I'll see you, Freddy.
I doubt it, to be honest. And it's Frederick.
Is it? Easy to forget.
No, it isn't. Goodbye, Joe. I'm fine with this.
So, we're ready to go for the pitch on Thursday.
Very good. Any other business, my dear?
Just one thing. Have you contacted your father, Teddy?
Amanda.
Nah, I'm not sure I'm going to. I promised I'd find him, and I did.
When you say you found him...
And that's the other thing. He might be like me, but he might be like Frederick, and no one needs two Fredericks in their lives.
One is all anyone could ask for. I don't suppose he mentioned me?
I haven't heard from him. I'm not going to contact him either.
What I still don't understand, sir, is that John Trott said he wrote the milk tray ads, but...
Darling, if there's one thing you'll learn in a career in advertising, is that there's never any shortage of chances claiming credit for your good work. I think you're quite right not to contact him, Beach.
Thank you, sir. I'm not even sure he's my dad anyway.
He looks a lot like you.
So does Audrey Hepburn. Doesn't make her my mum. And he doesn't look anything like the milk tray man.
Because the milk tray man isn't your father.
I'm not so sure. When I got in this morning, there was a box of milk tray on my desk. So, I mean, how do you explain that? I thought we could share it. I'll go and get them.
Very thoughtful, Joe.
I didn't put them there. I thought it was you.
Does it sound like the kind of cloyingly sentimental thing I'd do?
Someone must have left them.
Rupert? Do you know anything about this?
Me? What an absurdly fanciful notion. Rupert Hardacre doesn't give other men gifts. He buys things he can enjoy himself.
I suppose it's a mystery, then.
Here they are. I've only eaten most of them. So, would you like one, sir?
Thank you, Beach. I don't mind if I do.